It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to Friday's 9 till noon show. It's 3 minutes past 9 on this Friday, the 31st of October 2025. A happy Halloween to you. And we're here with you, of course, for the next 3 hours. I'll introduce to you very shortly our Friday panel. We're going to be running through some of the big stories of the day and the week, and we want you involved in that conversation, naturally. 086 6025 000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 6025 000, or you can give us a call on 07491 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. And of course you can watch the program, watch our guests on the YouTube app, on your smart TV, your Fire Stick or your mobile devices, on our Facebook pages, and of course on the X platform. So it's a blended panel today. Let's say good morning first to retired Garda Sergeant Christy Galligan. Good morning, Christy. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me on.
It is good to have you with us. We have Independent Senator Eileen Flynn joining us as well. Eileen, great to see you again. How are you keeping?
Good, Greg. Thanks for having me on the programme this morning.
No, it's our pleasure. And joining us in studio, as it's a blended panel, is Senator Niall Planey of Fianna Fáil. Good morning, Niall.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Right, one of the big political stories of the week, Micheál Martin. Well, let's not forget, he's not only successfully brought Fianna Fáil back into government twice, but he's now serving his second term as Taoiseach in a historic coalition. However, with the upcoming rotation of the Taoiseach role in 2027, recent polls showing a dip in the party's support and vocal discontent from some TDs and the grassroots following the recent poll performance in the presidential election, the question of his long-term leadership inevitably rises. And this obviously is a story that we were going to discuss anyway, but it just so happens we have a Fianna Fáil senator with us, so I might as well ask you first. How long do you think he will hold on for, Niall Blaney?
Well, I suppose, Greg, how long is a piece of string? I can't answer that. That's a matter for all the members collectively of the parliamentary party. Well, actually, the TDs in the parliamentary party. It's he has the vote, not the senators, in relation to the removal of otherwise of a leader. But I suppose it's right to recognise that we've had a bad number of weeks in the whole presidential debacle. I suppose our approach to selecting a candidate has been pretty much out there. It hasn't been a good process. But what's probably sad over the last couple of weeks is our own reaction by our own senior people in the party and our leader. I think it's sad that a list emerged over the weekend of members that spoke out. That's their right to do so. Nobody spoke out when Micheál Martin and those that backed him spoke out against the leader of the party back in 2011. It's their right to do so. And it's sad when it comes to that stage that we have to start picking out people like they're bad boys in the classroom. That's not the democratic process.
Is that not another black mark on the leadership then, really, effectively?
It is, and I suppose there are a number. He spoke in the Claiborne show yesterday morning and he talked about how Bertie Ahern wasn't fit for to be a candidate in the presidential process. And again, that's a mark of him undermining the say that the PP members should have had in the process. And he took that from them. And that's wrong. And I think that the longer this continues, I think the poorer the party will be and our standing in the polls.
So are you of the view then that with everything that's gone on, the time for new leadership is now?
Well, I think probably the most stark reality was at the weekend, seeing the result of the presidential election. It's the first time in the history of the state that the centre ground has shifted. And that's, for me, a wake-up call, and it should be for every member of Fianna Fáil. And to address that, it means seismic proportions and a real look at ourselves as a party. And in doing that, it may well mean change of leadership as well. And I think if Micheál Martin was smart at this stage, that rather than all this show that's going on, one against the other, tearing the party apart, I think Micheál Martin should name his date and decide that he is going to leave in the not-too-distant future and let the party start getting on with it and rebuilding again. I think it's the smartest thing to do, but moreover the best thing for the good of the party and whoever the new incumbent's going to be give them time to plan and to rebuild the party, and I suppose address our policy direction, because it's going to take a policy direction to win back that centre ground.
Yeah, and I'll bring our other panel members in a moment, but he said, again, he's doubled down that he's going to be the Taoiseach, he's going to lead the party into the next election. I presume he chooses his words very, very carefully. He seems determined to do that. So does that make a heave inevitable then, if he doesn't leave on his terms?
I'm going back to repeating what I said a few minutes ago, Greg, because I just feel the last couple of weeks has been a dreadful time for the Fianna Fáil party. Just tearing and tearing and tearing apart of each other is not a good way to go. And for the sake of the party, I think the right thing for him to do is to name a date when he still has control. Because I think the longer this goes on, the more he's undermining himself, the more he's undermining his own legacy. And I think that when he has the ability, I think he should name his own date.
All right, so stay with us. Senator Eileen Flynn, I mean, obviously, you know, when it boils down to it, it's almost like an internal party matter, but it's no doubt that the public's attitude, the way the public have voted, and some of the decisions Micheál Martin's taken in that context, obviously, and he is the Taoiseach, so everyone has an interest in this. What's your view, Senator Eileen Flynn?
I'll just start by saying, Greg, I remember about 2 years ago, Michael Healy-Ray said to me, Eileen, a lot of politicians' careers end with a bang. It either ends in debt or something that we're seeing now, you know, someone having to resign because of their actions. Around Micheál Martin, that's an issue, I believe, for the Fianna Fáil party. You know, if I look at what he's achieved over the years, he has done some really good work with the smoking ban, with, you know, appointing the first ever member of the traveller community to the Shannon. So I have to be mindful of that as well. But I will say, what about the 29 members of Fianna Fáil who voted for Billy Kelleher? You know, I think they were the 29 members in the party that had it right. Micheál Martin, unfortunately, in this regard, supporting Jim Gavin, was going for gold, but ended up losing, if you want. Didn't consultation really with party members. And I think any good leader is able to bring people with them and able to bring their party with them. And again, I think it's a matter for Fianna Fáil. But as Niall has rightly said, I think it's time that Micheál Martin goes and come up with his own date of stepping down as the party leader and, yeah, just come up with his own date, because again, we can't forget some of the good stuff that he's done as a person as well. And I think that's really, really important. But it is a matter for Fianna Fáil. And if you're I was listening to the Wireless coming back from Dublin on Sunday, you know, and there are one or two Fianna Fáil TDs, and I think, you know, not being collective as a party. So they all need to get together and just work on the matters of the leadership and come together collectively as a party. Now, I'm not a member of Fianna Fáil, far from it. But again, I see some good politicians. Like, what was wrong with Bertie Ahern? What was wrong with Eamon O'Queeve and Billy Kelleher to be put up for the presidential election? It wasn't up to Micheál Martin to make up, to decide on behalf of all Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, and I take your point, and I did sort of phrase the question as it being internal matter, but adding as well, though, I mean, obviously, Micheál Martin is the leader of the country, and if his own party is, some within his own party having question marks about the leader of the party, well, then obviously then you have to sort of say widen it out and drag everyone in and say, well, we're also talking about the leader of the country. I will say there were 29 voted for Billy Kelleher and one for Bertie Ahern, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Niall.
No, on the day of the vote.
You didn't protest and just write in Bertie Ahern, no?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I voted for Billy Kelleher. I think I addressed it before with you. And the
no,
last
you did.
Was on, yeah.
You did indeed. Christy Galligan, looking on, what's your view on the future of Micheál Martin, his leadership, and the future of his leadership of the country?
Well, I think it was an unmitigated disaster for Fianna Fáil in relation to putting Jim Gavin forward. I think it was putting a bet on the wrong horse at the end of the day. I thought he, I probably thought he probably thought, along with those who agreed with him, that putting Jim Gavin forward would get him a huge Dublin vote for this presidential election. That what didn't happen because of the due diligence that wasn't carried out. And this presidential election, I have to say, I was bored with it. I didn't see enough candidates coming forward, and those that did try to come forward were stymied because they didn't get enough TDs or councils to support them in going forward. I'd like to see more candidates, and I think that's a big problem going forward.
And we'll talk about the
number
that.
Of spoiled
votes. We'll certainly,
is another thing that needs
it is,
to look at.
And we'll talk about it after the break.
Yeah.
So I do want to dedicate a section of this hour to that. But is that as far as you wish to go with Micheál Martin's leadership? You
no,
believe it's
I
time
think
for him
Billy
to
Keller said it that Fianna Fáil does not have an open, transparent bidding system for an internal selections. And he alleged that it had done a huge amount of damage, both to the individual and his family and the party itself. And I think that comes down to the process itself for Fianna Fáil. I think Fianna Fáil has done itself a fair amount of damage. And I think Micheál Martin has to look at, will he stay on? Will there be a move before the European presidency comes to the country or before that, or will he stay on till 2027? I can't see him staying on till 2027.
Do you see a natural successor to him?
That's very hard to say at the present moment in time. There are a fairly good, some very good candidates, very well qualified candidates that could step into his shoes. But, I mean, again, it's down to the party process. Will Billy Kelleher make a move at this stage? He possibly could.
I don't think he can because you know, he's in Europe, so I don't think Billy can make a move now. I think from talking to Fianna Fáil, some Fianna Fáil members who would be best placed to be the next leader from speaking to people in the party would be Jim O'Callaghan. Now, I don't know Niall's opinion on that, but that's, yeah.
Niall?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're plenty of options as new leaders. From a women's perspective, we have Norma Foley, we have the two Daras, Dara Bryan, Dara Cleary, Jim O'Callaghan himself, and there will be others, no doubt.
Yeah, I heard someone say that Fianna Fáil was lacking in options. I don't understand
I don't think so,
that,
and probably before this whole process, Jack Chambers would have been as well, until he probably went out, but sent out the Taoiseach on the Monday to actually rescue the Gavin situation, and unfortunately for him, he didn't see it, and since that's, I suppose, appearance on that Monday, he probably is now ruled out as a possible leader in the short term.
Bad management is bad management, whether it's in a small company, a medium-sized company, or a big company. And it's also looking after the people. And I think when you are managing an organisation and you don't look after the people, you've lost the organisation. So, I mean, obviously, let's just park what some people might want to text in, but text in if you want to anyway. Bertie Hearn, right. OK, so obviously can be a divisive character. But he's a very important part of the Fianna Fáil story, right? And the way he was treated would be very disrespectful, was seen as very disrespectful. Even someone like very close to us, Pat the Cope Gallagher, who's been there, done that, seen it all, the fact that he wouldn't even be consulted, and then to come out and say, well, no one come and approached me about anything, you know, that's problematic. And as I say, not just in a political party, but if that was an organisation, if you don't have respect for people or you know, you don't consult them or whatever it is. It is a recipe for disaster now.
It is, and I suppose in Bertie Hearn's case, he contacted the party through the chief executive.
I think on multiple months, consecutive months, wasn't it?
December of last year, and asked for a response. The response wasn't coming. He asked for a response sooner rather than later. To this day, he's never got a response. And to tell me that the Taoiseach wasn't aware of that when the heads of his organisation were meeting him. Moreover, what was stopping him lifting the phone? This thing of being at the end of the phone is not good enough. And you're right about an organisation. An organisation is as good as a leader. And I find myself at a local meeting of the party in the last number of days, myself and Jeremy McConlogue and Patrick O'Keller. Three is in different perspectives in relation to the European campaign and the outcome of it. And really that's
the presidential campaign.
The presidential campaign. And really that's down to a lack of leadership. We're not having that leadership in the top. We're certainly not having the communication with the leader we should have.
So what can I guess? You're pretty angry. Pat the Cook Gallagher's holding his fire and Charlie McConnell is back in Micheál Martin 100%?
Well, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, Greg. You know, it's not for me to get their perspective.
Yeah.
See, I
but the point
wonder.
Is, the yeah. point is, as our leader should be espousing all our views and our direction. And that's just not happening at the moment.
Eileen, you want to come back in there, please?
Yeah, I don't know. I could be speaking out of turn here, but anyway, I'll say it. My gut says there's something bigger going on. You know, Fianna Fáil couldn't have lost €200,000 in a campaign, all at the cost of over €3,000 for the candidate that they put forward. So, you know, I've a lot of questions. I every day reading, seeing is there any other stories coming up, because, like, you know, I see people on the margins of society that over €3,000 to come out of an election, and for Fianna Fáil to have such a bad outcome. What is really going on?
What do you mean by that? Sorry, what do you mean by that, Eileen? I'm not following.
It just, like, why somebody came out of a campaign because of €3,000.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, like, Jim Gaffigan. All right, okay, I get you, yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, there's really big questions.
To be
questions,
honest with you, at that time, Eileen, at that time, the media was only interested in hatcheting people down. That's all they were, not teaching us about the candidates or what have you. And I think, really, and we saw it with the former weather forecaster, her name just escapes me at the moment. Joanne Donnelly. I actually think that Jim Gavin says, I don't want this. I don't want my life's being dragged into it. I'm having to talk about my finances back in the Celtic Tiger. Now, that was just my gut feeling. You've got me thinking otherwise. Now I'm coming down that rabbit hole with you, maybe, but you know what I mean?
Like, I just think over €3,000, you know, it's like, it's just blows my mind to think that someone was out, like an organisation, a political party was out nearly €200,000. I seen Tyrair Dra was full of Jim Gavin posters all around Dublin, full of them, much more so than Heather Humphreys or Catherine Connolly. I think we had about 3 or 4 posters of Catherine and Ardra, you know, obviously because the people funded Catherine's campaign. So for me, I just, you know, and I think anybody listening to the show and people is asking that question, why did Jim Gavin drop out over like €3,700?
Right. Do you, do you get where, obviously you get where Eileen's coming from. I genuinely feel it was the scrutiny he didn't like, but anyway.
Well,
I suppose before Jim was selected, I spoke to Jack Chambers and told him it was my some opinion that Jim Gavin was somebody that I really respected for what he'd done for GAA and moreover for Dublin. Certainly no Dublin supporter, but what he'd done was something else. But that said, he did not have the communication skills necessary to win a campaign like this, or to, I suppose, stand up to the kind of scrutiny that you're going to get in a debate. I said very clearly, and I also met Jim Gavin here the week before the process started. I told Jim Gavin, I don't meet somebody and think something and leave them going off thinking otherwise. So I told him I couldn't understand, first of all, why Jack Chambers announced you as a candidate. And moreover, there's a question mark over your ability to communicate when it comes to these debates. And
did he reassure you?
He didn't. He didn't. He talked about what he'd done in the inner city and his CV and that. And it's an excellent CV. But we know there's been many politicians over the years that have been torn apart in these debates. They're not for the faint-hearted. Mm. Billy Keller would have done far better because it's been his life.
He's a politician.
Yeah. Exactly. And Jim's not, you know. And it was pointed out by more than me to the senior leadership, but it's ignored.
All right, I'm going to come back. Unless there's something quickly you want to add there, Chrissy, I'm going to come
back. Yeah, well, I think what we all have got out of this is that the whole process of selection for a presidential needs to be changed, and you can only change that through the Constitution if there is a referendum in the Constitution.
Well, listen, stay where you are, because I feel like I'm trying to hold you back. I'm on your back pulling pulling on the reins here, because we are going to talk about the lessons learned, the fallout from the presidential election. So what I'll do is I'll take this quick break, I must, and I'll come back to you and kick off the conversation from there. Stay where you are, back with more in a couple of minutes. Don't forget 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp number. It's our Friday panel in the company of Senator Eileen Flynn, independent, Senator Noel Blaney of Fianna Fáil, and Christy Galligan, a retired Garda sergeant. So, well, 1 week on from Catherine Connolly's landslide victory, which many feel has been overshadowed by one stark figure, an unprecedented 213,738 spoiled ballots, amounting to nearly 13% of the total poll. That's a tenfold increase on the last election. This combined with low turnout and the fact that an Ireland Thinks poll found 50% of those who spoiled their vote cited lack of choice or dislike of the candidates as an undeniable sign, or is this an undeniable sign of mass voter alienation? Does this extraordinary protest vote mark a seismic failure of the current nomination rules, Christy?
Yeah, well, I do believe that the civil war parties, as they're known, have merged into one. And this election, especially the spoiled ballots, when you tie up the spoiled ballots at 13% and another 7% for Jim Gavin, that's 20% out of the total numbers that were voting. And I think that was a key point for me, that if people are willing to spoil their votes, or even some people who didn't go out and even vote, but the people who did vote and spoiled their votes, said that this was kind of a protest vote against the government parties of the day, as well as of all the policies in relation to all of the things in relation to housing, immigration, and all of the well-aired subject matters that we have seen at this time. And I think it should be a warning sign to the government parties. You get your act together, or come the next election, we will see him.
But it's not just the government parties. It's the Dáil as a whole. It's the opposition parties as well. I mean, more people didn't vote than did vote. And as you say, 20% of those that decided to vote, you could deem it some sort of a protest. So it goes beyond Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil. Surely you have to look at Sinn Féin et al.
Yeah, I believe that Sinn Féin, you know, I mean, they came on the backing of Labour and others who promoted Catherine Connolly, and Catherine Connolly would see herself as an independent person. But I think the debate that surrounded Catherine Connolly in relation to representation of banks and all of that was a moot point at the end of the day. And I think Jim O'Callaghan, the Minister for Justice, really put it to bed at the end of the day. And that was a side issue. The big issue for a lot of people is, remember, the presidential election, the presidency is really a symbolic position here in society, and there's very little that they can do to change the narrative when it comes to government policy. Now, they can refer bills to the Supreme Court, etc. But other than that, it's a very symbolic position. So, I mean, for a lot of people, and it just shows you, out of, I think, a total electorate of 3.6 million, I think, that only 1.6 million people came out to vote.
Ahead of the election, though, and I think this is something that has to be factored in, 49% of people said that they didn't have a candidate in the field that reflected their views. So why would anyone come out to vote at all? And if you didn't have a very motivated, close on a quarter of a million people that came out and to spoil the votes, it would have been a record low turnout.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. And I think, as I said before, Greg, you know, we didn't have enough candidates that we could select from. And I think that's frustrating for a lot of people. You had the issue surrounding Maria Steen. She had 18 TDs, but she couldn't get the other two, another two TDs to get her into the campaign itself.
Yeah, but she was like, so late to it. She was so late to the party that there are TDs that probably would have endorsed her, but had already used that opportunity. So, I mean, I think Maria Steen's late arrival into it also has to be factored in.
Yeah, but I think we need to widen, to get away from the political establishment. People were frustrated with the political establishment already. And I think we need to move away from the fact that you need 20 TDs or you need three or four councils to, make sure that somebody stands forward as a candidate. I think that has to change if we want to look at other candidates that could be good enough as candidates for a presidential election. Are we a true democracy when we look at that only through the political juggernaut that we have at the present moment, that only through the political system that we can have these candidates going forward?
Yeah, but if you have the right candidates, then they not come forward. Let's not forget, over the last 20, 30 years, there's been far more independents on the ballot than there have been.
We've had some marvellous presidential candidate election, and we're talking about Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese and others, and even Michael D himself. You know, they're fantastic candidates, and they've really promoted Ireland as a whole, both here and abroad, and I think they're fantastic candidates. But we're living in a very kind of a world that is in an upheaval at the present moment in time, and dealing with a very far-right extremes left or extremes right. And we need somebody with that diplomatic noose that we need in as president of the country.
But is Catherine Connolly?
Do we have
it in
Catherine Connolly? Well, I hope we do.
We'll see.
I really hope we do.
Niall?
Yeah, I suppose I'll make a few points from that. First of all, in relation to the system has served us well over many years. And I believe it would have this time as well if certain candidates had taken serious consideration of their will to contest or look to contest the presidency, if they had taken it seriously early on. My recollection of it is such that once the former MEP, Maria McGuinness, stood down, a whole lot of people stood up and, my God, realised there's an opportunity here. And it was only then we started to see some independents showing their heads, whereas Catherine Connolly was out for early days. There may be a lot to be said for being out the early days. But for the likes of Maria Steen and other independents who went the council route, certainly I know that those that went the council route went far too late. Some of them didn't get near the councils at all. I know from Donegal's perspective, they were waiting to see people like Maria Steen and others, but never materialised.
Yeah, but that's because it was blocked. It
wasn't blocked. Well,
They had the not blocked by parties. There were, and it was actually an independent that blocked it. If you put it like that, as far as I understand, you need five to call a meeting to consider candidates. Yeah. They had five, and one independent pulled out. So that's what I mean by blocked. Actually,
yeah, there never were more independents. But like Dana is the one that could actually tell you the route that she went and how she done it. And it's about putting the time in, and it's about going meeting people, and it's about building relationships with councillors. That didn't happen in this election. And those independents that were down the route of the councils didn't have enough time.
I said the point, and I know you've other things to say, but that sometimes, though, people come in and ride the public wave, right? So, you know, you get a movement sort of online and what have you that says, right, we don't really feel represented here. You know, you've got sort of two centre-left politicians. Who are we going to vote for? And then you get a Maria Steen that goes, right, well, actually, I have ambitions here. I didn't think I have a chance. I'm going to try and ride this public wave into office, in her defence.
Yeah, well, I think some of those that went down the council route probably could have got more councils. I think Donegal was one that could have been got by one of them if they'd have put the time into it. Outside of the fact that the four councillors or the five councillors and the independents didn't materialise. Moreover, Maria Steen, again, was independents blocked her because there was four senators, independent senators, sitting in Seanad Éireann that didn't sign her papers. And for whatever reasons.
A lot of the online rhetoric. So while some senators were still considering their position, they were being called all manner of things online, to the point whereby they were almost being coerced into supporting Maria Steen. So I would argue that some of her most fervent support actually ended up costing her the nomination, which I don't think has been talked about a lot, but I know of at least two senators that publicly said that they couldn't endorse a candidate whose supporters treated them like they did treat them.
Well, I suppose there's a block of three senators, namely Gerry Crawford, Victor Boyan, and
that's a wee bit unfair now.
Senator McDowell, who I suppose at the end of the day could have backed her, but for whatever reasons didn't back her.
Come on in there.
In relation to symbolism, if you don't mind, to symbolism.
Just do this bit, and then we'll come back to the symbolism.
That's a wee bit unfair when Fianna Fáil gave their gave their indication to local county councillors not to back anybody, that they have their
that
own
never
horse.
Happened, Eileen.
The same with Fianna Gael. And if you listen back to the World of RTE on Sunday, you will hear Maria Steins saying that herself. I think, Greg, we need to be really careful. I think that everybody should have the rights to put themselves forward to be a candidate for the presidential election. You know, what we've had for years has worked. It does need to change. We have to realise that protest vote. Not everybody who did a protest vote is anti-government. They're pro-housing, they're pro-people, actually, and they feel that forgotten in society. You know, and I just think it's unfair for Senator Blaney to say that Michael McDougall, Gerard Crockwell, now, and I'm not their biggest fans, far from their biggest fans, but again, you know, we have to realise what the political leaders did in political parties when it came to county councillors.
Yeah, but you would agree.
I have to pull Eileen up there, because that's not true. There actually were some of the councils... There are two councils. There are two councils that back one of the independents.
When we talked about the spoiled vote, we need to be mindful that Jim Gavin's votes wasn't spoiled.
Yeah, but I want to speak specifically about
that was coordinated from within the party, getting their members to vote Jim Gavin so they would get back their €200,000. Yeah.
Okay, and I want to dig in specifically with the spoiled votes. Because that is a very significant amount of people. Was there not a diktat or some advice that came down to local councils for Fianna Fáil? There was no whip as such, but that you've got your candidates and that's who we're going with.
Well, the councils across the country can speak for themselves, but I know there's no diktat. Actually, one of the pens that got two of the councils got there with the support of Fianna Fáil councillors. Absolutely no diktat by in relation to Fianna Fáil.
And I will say I do know that Fianna Fáil would have facilitated the council to meet. I do know that. I'm not backing Fianna Fáil, but I have to be fair. Fianna Fáil would have facilitated a meeting to consider other candidates in Donegal.
Absolutely.
I know that for as a fact. But
perception is everything. Perception is everything, Greg. Perception is everything. And for the public, the ordinary public out there, they say, here we are, this is the candidates coming from major parties, you know, sink or swim, that's it, you know, and nothing else really matters.
Where is
here
Simon Harris in all of this, I wonder, because he hasn't spoken a word in God knows how long. It was he that sort of actually did block Fine Gael councillors from endorsing councillors. Where is Simon Harris? Have you seen or heard of him, Christy?
He's gone into, I don't know where Simon Harris is. He has made very little comment since this happened. And I think Fine Gael have to reflect themselves on the candidate, because no harm to Heather Humphreys. I don't think she was a great orator like Jim Gavin, had difficulties in relation to it. Heather kind of focused on the barrister type thing in relation to Blackberry possessions and all of that. And that was shot down, as I say, by Jim Callaghan. I think it's very hard to know, but I know that there's a very large cohort of people in the public out there that are very tired and fed up with the political parties as is at the present.
Let's talk about that in more detail after the break. But are you surprised at the seeming absence of Simon Harris now?
Well, I suppose they had their own difficulties after that vote as well. But I'm more interested in my own. But I would like to come back to the symbolism in relation to the presidency.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
And what that for me, what it means. And for me, I suppose the person that outlined the symbolism to its utmost ability was Mary McAleese. And particularly with her and her husband done during the presidency in relation to the peace process, how much time they spent in Northern Ireland building relations. And I suppose that has been Ireland's strength over the years, political wise, and the presidency, is building relations across the world. And I suppose never was that more missing in relation to building the relations across the world than during Michael Dee's presidency, because he barely left the Oras internationally, never mind Northern Ireland. When it came to the 100-year anniversary of Northern Ireland, he failed to go up there and complain then about people not recognising him as the president for all Ireland. I think we need a president now that changes that. I hope Kevin Connolly is that president.
Eileen, do you agree with Senator Blaney?
Can I just say, I thought Michael D. Higgins, like many of your listeners, did us proud as a country. We don't need a bully. We don't need a bully to represent us at an international level. Let's not forget, Greg, that Catherine Connolly got over 65% of the vote here in Donegal. And even though earlier Niall said that people in Donegal want to vote Maria Steins, that's brilliant. But if you look at the number that came out for Catherine Connolly, she got the highest vote in the presidential election in the history of the state. And I know with all my heart and soul that Catherine Connolly will do an absolutely brilliant job as our president. And, you know, even we look at Mary McAleese, Mary Robinson, Michael D. Higgins, and no better person to follow on those footsteps and probably even do it better than Catherine Connolly. And to be fair to TD's activism, Donegal, Thomas Pringle, Jimmy Brogan, you know, a lot of independents got behind Catherine as well as Sinn Féin and other leaders.
100% and people redress were also behind her.
And redress, and of course. Yeah. And just one thing, Greg, before we move on from this, and I think it's really important, Christy, you said it earlier, is that Catherine Connolly is an independent. She got support. And I can tell you, Greg, as a person who ran in the Shannon and know how difficult it is to get cross-party support, that takes a unique person. This is not the left uniting. This was Catherine Connolly bringing people together and bringing the different political leaders together. And we have to give her credit for that.
OK, we'll grab a cup of coffee. We'll be back with the final segment of the show in about 4 minutes. Also, the 213,738 spoiled ballots. And I want to bring in another topic. So we'll just go round the panel in relation to this. Obviously, I'm not going to stifle conversation. Who are these people, in your view, Senator Flynn? Because, you know, I know you're politically close to Thomas Pringle, and he received some criticism during our coverage from the Aura, where he sort of almost grouped those people, the 6,000 in Donegal, as far right, if you know what I mean. I don't want to all right wing, which I did challenge him on it because I don't see it the same way. What do you say, or who are the 214,000 people who spoiled their votes, not including those that voted for Jim Gavin for whatever reason?
Yeah, I wouldn't include those voting for Jim Gavin because, to the best of my knowledge, that was coordinated and people and members of Fianna Fáil were trying to get back the money. However, moving on to the spoiled votes, I know a lot of people, Greg, and we've seen it in America as well with Donald Trump, build the wall, make America great again, you know, and like there is a percentage of those 6,000 votes, of course, are far right. But also we have to be mindful of the ones who are not far right are people who feel left out of society, not represented in society, people who feel their voices are not heard. And credit to Catherine Connolly. And of course, I'm I've got a great relationship with Catherine. And I have to say, even in her speech when she was elected president, she will be on the 11th of November, but the winning of the votes, Catherine did say that she'll try her best to be a voice for those people too.
And she will, but this was not as much a protest vote at Catherine Connolly. This was almost like a referendum on how people think in terms of the other side of elected politics. So how do those people feel represented going forward? Because there's a huge swathe of the population, I believe, that either of the big three speak for them.
No. And you know what it is? Like, if we look at the housing crisis, the health crisis, people on waiting lists to get seen, to get x-rays, like, these are all people. I know many single parents, and it's not pinpointing single parents, many members of the traveller community, many working class people that would feel that the government and parties are not representing them. And I got photos that day from even family members. A lot of them voted for Catherine Connolly. A lot of people in Ballyfermot, Cherry Archer, spiked their vote, like the 6,000 here in Donegal. And they're not far right. These people are not far right. They wouldn't even they were never involved in politics, only that they don't feel represented. And we have to take that into consideration.
But we have to also address why they don't feel represented. And if you look at a sample of the polls, a lot of them are unhappy with the immigration policy in this country. and the pressure that it's putting on some of the things you mentioned, housing, health, etc. There are lots and lots of people that aren't racist, they're not far right, but they're very uncomfortable with current policies in terms of immigration.
But like before we had the mask refugee crisis across Europe, Greg, we've had a homeless crisis in this country and a health crisis. I remember actually the health crisis in 2000 when Bertie Ahern was the leader of Fianna Fáil, and I remember my mother was waiting in a waiting area in A&E for 2 days, where she ended up then passing away. You know, so I just think it's really like I can remember those crises, even
no,
though I'm
I understand.
Only,
I understand, but just you know, in the most basic terms, if you've got one house and two people need that house, that's a housing crisis. But if you bring in another two people, so four people need that one house, you're exacerbating the housing crisis. And then in the most basic terms, that's what probably people view our current immigration policy as.
I understand that it's us against them. And that's what the government actually want as well. Do you know what I mean? Divide and the conquer. If we go to Letterkenny Hospital, if I'm arguing about the importance of having migrants, if you go to Letterkenny Hospital, the majority of our health workers are people who are not from Ireland.
They're all on work visas and what have you. See, we don't want to go into the space where we're conflating concerns about immigration with racism or the colour of a person's skin.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think as well, like you have to look at the asylum seekers, refugees and immigration too. They're three completely sets of people, you know, and I think it's really important. Like we seen the piece of legislation in the Justice Committee about 3 weeks ago. And basically it was organisations in and basically what the government are looking to do is hurry up the process, but not to end direct provision, not to, like, you have to understand as well, if people like it or not, there's some people that come to this country out of fear of their government in wars because of their sexuality, you know, and we have an obligation.
See, and I do understand that. I do understand that. And that is undeniable. But when you see large swathes of urban areas being populated by predominantly young men, you know, that is also something that needs to be looked at and addressed, because it does concern the broader population, Eileen, not for a second saying that they might not be fleeing persecution or what have you, but this is what people are concerned about. It's changing significantly communities.
And I think when Thomas Pringle spoke on your show, Greg, when he said that the far right, we need to be mindful as well of other human beings, and we need to be mindful that a percentage of these spite votes are far right. These are people that would want a woman's place in the kitchen, that don't believe in LGBTQI plus rights, that see travellers and blackers.
It just feels a little bit like, Senator, as soon as I sort of tried to drill into the crux of some of the arguments, that we went back to the far right narrative rather than addressing, you know, the centre, maybe right-leaning. They probably don't even know left or right. Anyway, I'll come
back.
Can
I ask you a question, Greg?
Yes.
If four people were going to a house, which one do you think was more important?
I would say that you would factor in who's waiting the longest. You would factor in their greatest need.
Yes, of course. And that's exactly what the council does, Greg.
I certainly wouldn't give some of them 600 or 700 euro and not the other three, because I think that would be unfair. If you want me to go on, I can.
That's all perception, Greg. I think everybody needs to do their research on refugees and migrants as well. As you said rightly, there's many people here on working visas that's keeping our health system together.
The majority of people coming into this country are coming here on work visas because we need them. That is a copper iron fact. Christy Gallagher.
Going back to your original question, Greg, in relation to those spoil votes, a lot of people were very disaffected, disenfranchised, and do feel disenfranchised from what happens in Dublin 4. You know, and we have to get to the reality that there is a lot of issues out there at the present moment in time, and they're being well aired by you and many others, commentators, and Eileen there at the present moment, in relation to health, housing and other matters that concern people, and immigration as well. And those spoil votes cut right across a whole segment of society. We have to accept that. And people are entitled to do what they want to do with their votes, but that vote and that spoil vote, it should be addressed by the main political parties, all parties actually, and say, right, what can we do that this protest vote by people won't happen again?
Or I'll tell you, see, the reason why, if you don't have a proper conversation about it, what you do is you have a vacuum, and that vacuum is filled by the very same people you're trying to label everybody as. That's what's happened in the United States. That's what's happening in Britain. That's what happened. Eileen, if 50% of the population don't feel represented, they will find someone that represents them.
But like, if your child doesn't get a place in school because they have a disability, or they might have to travel maybe to the next town, of course you won't feel represented. I actually think, Greg, the government has a lot to answer to here when it even comes to migration, when it comes to refugees in this country. And I think it's really fair that we have to trust the county council, as you said earlier. And I think that's the process of the county, of every county council, is that they go with the family that's on the waiting list the longest, the family that needs the house the most. And I think, like, you pinned that down for listeners. And I think it's really important that we don't label everybody as far right, because I know many members of my family would not be politically engaged, if you want. They don't feel represented by the government, and that's unfortunate. But we have to listen to these people. We have to give them an alternative, and I don't know what that alternative is, Greg.
Yeah.
All I'll say is that I don't want bullies, any more bullies. We've enough bullies. We've enough of bullies in Leinster House, that's anti-traveller, anti-immigrants, etc. And we need to be very mindful when we're talking about the far right. And I don't mean to shut anybody down, but I am saying what you said earlier. The council does work fairly, and we need to break down the narrative that we're given to one to take away from the other. That's not the case.
Right, and we have to have the conversation. I'll have to limit you to a minute if that's okay. Sorry about
this. Yeah, that's fine. First of all, I referred to it earlier as talking about the president and the terms of bullying. I'd want and never wanted a president that's a bully. I suppose in relation to your question, Greg, I suppose the two senior parties had a bad day out the day of the election. And Christy's probably right when he said about the perception. The perception was out there that the two parties were blocking candidates as well. It's very easy to add perceptions when the two main parties are in a bad place. And there's a reality to that. There's many lessons to be learned, but moreover, leadership, I suppose, none of us are anti-immigration, but someone was pointing out over a year ago at the last election in relation to immigration and the illegal immigration. It's the illegal immigration that's really troubling us here in Ireland, and we're not dealing with that. And now the Tánaiste and Taoiseach are talking about it. We should have got here before now.
OK. Niall Blaney, thank you so much for calling in to us. Senator Eileen Flynn, it's always a pleasure. I really do enjoy you coming on the show. Thanks so much for your time, and have a wonderful weekend, you and your family.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks so much, Niall and Christy. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. And thanks, Christy Eileen. Galligan, thank you so very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
all right, take care. We'll be back with more after the news and obituary notices.